Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're here at the National Congress of American Indians. It's in Portland, Oregon this year, 2011. It's November. Because it's a pre-recorded show, of course, you can't fully appreciate the excitement of the live event, but I think you can catch the ambiance as you hear some of the sounds in the background. We've been taking this opportunity in a series of shows to interview a number of people who have had a significant impact in Indian country, and this show is no exception. I've had the privilege of sitting across, so to speak, in the booth area from two of my former colleagues, Laquita Baker and Kovita Hill. And Kovita and Laquita have both agreed to be with me. Kovita's here first, and Kovita, those rhyming names immediately conjure up things, I'm sure, in people's memories. What would you think most people would think if they hear about two sisters, Laquita and Kovita?
They'd probably think they were twins.
Yes, exactly right. And it is true, aren't you twins?
Absolutely.
So you and your sister are identical twins, and the scary thing about this radio show is no one can see you.
Right.
And so your voices sound very similar.
Almost exactly alike.
Now, I worked with the two of you for probably, what, 5 or 6 years?
Yes.
And I had gotten to the point where I could recognize your voices over the phone. I don't know if I can still do that. But some of our listeners may think that I've just got the same guest coming back and I'm calling her different names. But we actually really do have Kovita Hill here. You're willing to attest to that?
I'm willing to attest to that.
Now, you're a nurse by training, correct?
That's what I am.
And why I have you on the show is because we had an exciting time together in the heart of Indian country in Oklahoma for a number of years, from the mid-90s into the last decade. And we were dealing with programs that were helping people, we often use the term, reverse their diabetes.
Yes.
As a nurse, tell us what kind of things you saw happening at the Lifestyle Center of America. And by the way, before you do that, I should let our listeners know the Lifestyle Center of America no longer functions as a health center. And so this isn't some kind of promotional program talking about a single institution. We're just talking about what can happen when a healthy lifestyle is brought into the equation. So what did you see as a nurse, Kovita, as you worked at the Lifestyle Center of America?
Well, first of all, as a nurse, I thought I was pretty well trained in diabetes. Mm-hmm. Then I found out that I really didn't know anything until I came to work there. And it was probably the most wonderful nursing experience I have ever had the privilege of being involved in, because we saw miracles happen. We saw people who came on 100 milligrams of injectable insulin taken off of their insulin in the 18 days that they were there. We saw specifically one man who had, his doctor had told him that he was going to be losing both of his legs, and he was on actually 100 units of insulin a day. And we were able to take him off of the insulin and save his legs. And we saw miracle after miracle like this happen. And we also saw people's cholesterol levels drop 50 points in that length of time just with the vegan vegetarian diet and the exercise program that they were put on. So if people would actually continue with this kind of lifestyle, they could literally see their diabetes reversed. And that's what we were there for. And we saw this demonstrated over and over again.
You know, for me as a physician at that facility, I had this similar reaction, of course, Kovita. And as we worked with many people throughout Indian country, many tribal leaders came through. They got excited about the program. I know some of our listeners, as they hear us talking about this vegetarian diet, they probably have the response that many First Nation peoples have given me. They say, well, we always ate some wild game or fish or whatever. Well, the point of the program, though, was to help people reconnect, first of all, with an optimal diet for diabetes, and then to realize in the Native communities where we worked, to help them see that many First Nation communities had been on a largely vegetarian diet for many years. What kind of sense did you get from the Native Americans who came through the Lifestyle Center program? Are there any experiences that stand out as far as how they regarded that approach compared to their traditional practices? Did they ever have any discussions like that with you?
Well, some of them at first were very leery about a vegetarian diet.
Okay.
But when they saw the results after 18 days, it convinced them that this truly was the best diet for man. And we just always hoped that they would continue this at home. And it is sometimes it's not possible to just completely convert over. But gradually, it made such a difference in their lives. It truly made a marked difference.
Now, what other kind of nursing have you done over the years besides working at the Lifestyle Center of America?
I did mostly hospital nursing. Then I also worked at a veterans center where it was just an in-home place for men to live. And I also did 1 year of home health nursing. But those 13 years that I spent at the Lifestyle Center was the climax of my nursing career. That's how I think medicine should be practiced. And we were rewarded in seeing how miraculous people's bodies will respond when they're introduced to a good lifestyle.
Although the vegetarian diet, like you said, may raise eyebrows among some in Indian country, one of the things I often heard from our Native American participants was, you know, this program is more like our Native ways.
Right.
We weren't using a lot of drugs. We were helping people get off their medications. And when you tell a story about someone getting off of 100 units of insulin a day, it wasn't that their blood sugar was worse when they came off it, was it?
No, it was much better.
And this is hard for people to wrap their minds around, but these results are reproducible. I've worked in other settings where we see similar results. It's not anything unique about that location in Oklahoma, but
right.
We had a team of people who had that common vision. So here you are now at the National Congress of American Indians. You're here, and you still have that vision for helping people with diabetes. What are you doing in this venue?
Well, we have made up a typed sheet that has very simple measures that patients can do that will really affect their blood sugars. Just very simple tips that make such a profound difference. And we've been sharing this with those that were really struggling or had an interest in this. And we've also found a few that did not know that they had diabetes. And so we were able to do some teaching and present them with this very simple plan to help them begin to reverse and control their blood sugars.
So what kind of principles are you sharing with people? You say you're giving them sheets. So what are some of the practical insights you have?
What we're sharing with them is how the high-fiber diet, along with beans and northern fruits and different types of food, if they make some few short changes or small changes, just going from white bread and white pastas to whole wheat grains can make such a difference. And then also making them understand that it takes exercise as well as the diet. So we have also given them an exercise a program written up that we actually had from the Lifestyle Center. And we've been sharing this with them also, just to give them some simple tips, nothing overwhelming that would make them feel like, well, I can't do that, but just simple changes that they can begin making. For example, like it's better for them to have northern fruits than southern fruits, and we named that.
So name some for us.
Okay, so like apples and peaches and pears and berries are the best kind of fruits for people who have diabetes because they're higher fiber, where your southern fruits have higher sugar levels, and especially like watermelon and cantaloupe are very high glycemic foods and fruits that if they have diabetes, they should stay away from. But we just gave them tips and also telling them rather than to drink orange juice or juices, to eat the fruit. Because if you have a glass of orange juice, that would be like eating approximately 5 oranges. So it would be better to eat the fruit. And like apples, also if they have a glass of apple juice, that would be like maybe 6 apples, where they would never eat that much. Just simple tips.
So basically, you are a kind of a fixture here at NCAI. I don't want to identify you particularly, but you're working for Roche Diagnostics here at this conference. And they've been, I know at least for the last 4 years where I've done recording at NCAI, they've been here offering free screening to attendees at the National Congress of American Indians. What kind of tests are you providing in addition to the information?
We're doing blood sugar testing, cholesterol checking, and blood coagulation checking.
So someone who's taking a blood thinner like warfarin or Coumadin,
yes,
they can actually come to this free booth and you can tell them exactly what their level is, huh?
Yes, we can.
I mean, I think it's a great service, and I know you've been having a lot of great experiences here as people have been coming through. I know your sister Laquita is going to be sharing some of her perspective both on what's happening at this event and also some of her experience at the Lifestyle Center of America. But before we hear from the other half of the twin team, Kovita, before I let you go, I know a lot of people are interested in what you felt as you were there at the Lifestyle Center of America working with people with lifestyle. Did you feel like you heard back from people who'd been successful over a long period of time? Because a lot of people say, oh, sure, you can go somewhere for 18 days, 19 days, whatever it is, you can do great, but when you go home, you're just going to fail. Did you feel like you had kept some contact with some of these people and they stayed successful?
Yes, we did have phone calls from people that thanked us over and over and shared with us how they had stayed with what they had been taught there and how their friends and relatives had noticed such significant difference in their health that they were willing to ask questions and they were able to share what they had learned. And they had profound response, and their whole health and outlook had just changed.
You know, what's so dramatic to me about this, COVID, and what's so exciting is just what you're sharing. Because I can remember being on a reservation out east where some of their tribal members had come through our program there at the Lifestyle Center of America. In fact, two of their tribal leaders had been through there. And it just made a huge impact on the tribe. We actually worked with the University of Oklahoma and their Native American Center there and actually kind of followed up on what happened at a tribal level when tribal leaders came through a program like this. And the changes were significant. I mean, changes in what kind of meals were being served at tribal events. More of an ethic of exercise and walking among the tribal council members. So a lot of fascinating things happen. And the encouraging thing is this can be reproduced, can it?
Yes.
Kovita, thank you so much for joining me on this special edition of American Indian Living. We've got a lot more coming up in today's show from the National Congress of American Indians in Portland, Oregon. November 2011, we're recording. I'm Dr. DeRose. Stay tuned. A lot more coming up. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Wimar is home to the Residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Wimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Wimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people and full of people. For the people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're here at the National Congress of American Indians in Portland, Oregon. It's November 2011. And we're speaking with some of the movers and shakers in Indian country, as well as people who are here ministering or helping in various ways. People throughout Indian country have better health outcomes. Part of that team are some of my fellow co-workers from the Lifestyle Center of America, a facility that no longer is operating in the area of diabetes prevention. But we just heard from Kovita Hill. If you're just joining us, her sister, Laquita Baker, is now sitting across from me in the exhibit hall. Laquita, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
One of the things, Laquita, that I was worried about is having the two of you being twins and sounding so much alike. People might think that this is not reality. I probably should have taken a picture of you and put it on the website.
I don't think that that's a big problem because we don't look that much alike anymore.
But you do sound an awful lot alike.
We sound alike,
but
yes.
You are a different person. You are,
yes.
Laquita.
I am a different person, yes.
And Laquita Hill, Laquita Baker as opposed to Kavita Hill.
That's correct.
So, Laquita, you were part of the nursing team when I was there at the Lifestyle Center of America. And we heard from Kovita her perspective on the power of lifestyle change, especially as it related to diabetes. I know our listeners are kind of interested in another perspective. What was your experience there in dealing with people from all different cultural backgrounds and their response to diabetes?
Well, I believe that a lot of the people that came there had absolutely no idea what they were actually getting themselves into. I mean, a lot of them were desperate. I mean, they would wait until the very last minute to do something about their health. And so they were very compromised when they came. A lot of them were. But it was the most amazing thing to see what our 18-day program did for these people. Many of them came in on 100 to 200 units of insulin, along with several other oral diabetic agents. And before they left there, they were completely off of insulin and maybe only on one oral medication. One specific person that I'm going to mention. This man was on 300 units of insulin and on four different oral diabetic medications. The doctor had just told him that he was going to lose both of his legs. And he decided that that wasn't going to happen, and he found out about our lifestyle center, and he came. He could barely walk when he got there. His legs were purple in color. Mm. When he left there, he was completely off of insulin, one oral agent. His legs were as pink as they could be. He could run up the hill, not just barely walk, but run up the hill. The most amazing thing I've ever seen. And we saw maybe not that drastic kind of results with everyone, but very, very few people left who were actually interested in improving their lifestyle that didn't dramatically actually improve.
Now, Kovita shared with us a similar story. It may have even been the same individual, since, of course, we're not sharing names. And I'm glad you shared it, because this way our listeners know that this is not some cleverly orchestrated program with one person claiming to be two.
Right.
But let's talk specifically, because I didn't talk with your sister about this. What was it that was done for this gentleman who is about to lose his legs that turned his situation around? Can you summarize that? Because there's a lot of people in Indian country that are facing amputations, and to have that information could be life or limb saving.
Well, actually, the diet was probably one of the most important things that we did, but we also wrapped his legs in charcoal poultices every night. And he slept in a chair, and by the time the second week got there, his legs were getting very pink. By the time the third week get there, we were only putting the poultices on once a day. And so that was one of the things that took care of the circulation problems. Now, the diet definitely helped him lose the weight. He lost 20 pounds while he was there. And it just took care of his general well-being. I mean, when he left there, he was one of the happiest people I've ever seen. And he came back a couple of times after that. But it took the combination of the diet, the exercise, the hydrotherapy, everything that we did for the patients there to improve.
Well, we definitely want to speak about two of these things you mentioned that may not be familiar to many of the listeners. One is this idea of the poultices, and then the other is the hydrotherapy. So let's talk about the poultices first. Many people in indigenous communities have used poultices. They've heard of these. But many other people, they say, what? What is a poultice? Can you explain what this was, how you made it?
Yes, I can do that. We would buy charcoal in a large container and put some ground up flaxseed with it to thicken it. And we would put it in a large basin and add enough water to make a thick paste out of it. Then we would spread it on yellow pads or blue pads or whatever we happen to have. And then we just simply wrap that around the leg and left it all night. Then we would remove it during the day.
So in hospitals and medical settings, we have these pads like that are absorbent,
right,
type pads. And would the charcoal, this charcoal paste made of charcoal powder and ground flaxseed, would that go directly on the skin?
That went directly right beneath a very thin layer of material so that it actually did touch the skin.
Okay, and so this is wrapped on his legs, and this is one of the things that's being done for his serious, imminent amputation.
Right.
You also mentioned hydrotherapy, water treatments. What was being done with those for the legs?
We actually did leg baths on every one of our diabetic patients. Depending on how much circulation problem they had, we did them 2 to 3 times a day. We would put their legs and feet in water that was approximately 104 degrees for 2 to 3 minutes. Then we would put it over in cold water for approximately 30 seconds. We would do this back and forth 5 or 6 times. And this is what we did for the hydro as far as their extremities were concerned. But then they also got hot and cold showers, and we did whirlpools, and of course massages. Everybody got a massage as well.
I know one of the things that the hydrotherapy staff was always concerned about was when they were dealing with these patients with diabetes and with neuropathy, nerve damage from the diabetes, they were always very careful to make sure the water temperature never went up, I mean, at the maximum 104, often lower than that, right?
Yes, between 102 and 104, and the cold water was usually between 60 and 65. And that was very well controlled with special thermometers.
I remember one patient who was someone different, who was getting a lot of help with his neuropathy from these alternating warm and cold treatments. Mm-hmm. And for those of our listeners who have a medical background, the belief is this is stimulating circulation in the microcirculation, in the tiny blood vessels. And this individual said, well, you know what, I won't have the treatments for a couple of days and just kind of see what happens. While he was there at the center, and he came to me and he said, you know what, these are really making a huge difference. I'm getting worse not having them.
Right.
So really, you saw some amazing things. I saw some amazing things. As we close out this segment, Laquita, any other messages of encouragement you'd like to give to people wherever they're listening to this show?
Absolutely. I can tell you that diet and exercise is what most diabetics are going to need, because diet and exercise makes the difference as far as what your blood sugars are going to do and continue to do in the long run. Mm-hmm. But you want to be sure and stay on a high fiber diet with lots of vegetables. Stay on the southern fruits. The northern fruits. Stay away from the southern fruits. And try to eat 2 good meals a day and stay away from the evening meal, or just eat a small salad or a half an apple.
Anything you want to say about the traditional Native American food of beans?
Well, I've actually had a couple of Native Americans say, oh, beans, I love beans. That's part of my heritage. I can do that.
Powerful food,
powerful
isn't it, for blood sugar control?
Your best friend.
That's been Laquita Baker. You heard from her sister, Covita Hill, some inspiring messages about diabetes coming to us from the 2011 National Congress of American Indians meeting in Portland, Oregon. We're going to be back with more in this edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Stay tuned. We will be back.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was. and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're here at the National Congress of American Indians in Portland, Oregon. It's November 2011, and we're just connecting with a lot of great people here. The person across the table from me in the exhibit hall is no exception. Christine Henson is very active in Indian country. Christine, for those who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your current responsibilities are?
I'm a registered nurse. I work with the VA. I've been with them for about 2 years now. I'm the manager of the Salem, Grand Ron, Lincoln City home-based primary care program. We serve veterans in their homes. Most of the veterans that we go to serve are elderly veterans that have problems getting to their clinic to see their providers. We have 8 nurses, psychologists, social workers, nurse practitioner, and we make home visits and help the veterans in any way that we can.
Tremendous. So you're grounded in Indian country, especially serving veterans.
All veterans. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your background, because this is not necessarily the normal trajectory for someone with a nursing background. How did you end up in this role?
Actually, I've been a nurse for almost 30 years now. Just wanted a big background in nursing. I've worked in ICU, in the emergency room, labor and delivery, oncology. Decided that I wanted to be able to help people that can't get out of their homes. Mm-hmm. Some of our poorer population, the elderly, mostly that really struggle to get to medical appointments, but so need medical care. So that was the direction that I went to. I got involved in community home care. Mm-hmm. That's where I got the most of my background, and then realized that there's a lot of veterans out there that needed help, and started looking at the VA and was very happy with what I saw and wanted to put my knowledge with the VA.
Tremendous. It's always exciting to have someone who says, look, I'm working with a great organization, and I'm part of it because I wanted to give back and make a great organization, hopefully even better, by sharing my skills.
Right. Yeah.
So, Chris, you have deep roots in Indian country. Tell us a little bit about that and how that shaped your vision to be involved in your current work.
Well, there was a new initiative that just came down a couple of years ago where we were able to get some funding to really start working closer with the Native Americans. Native Americans are the highest population that serve in the VA, but yet they tend to get the least amount of benefits. Mm. They stay with IHS within their tribes, and we want to just reach out to them and let them know that we're here. Again, that gets right back to the elderly Native Americans that gave their lives and their time to serve our country, and we want to be here for them.
So let's say someone is listening right now. Maybe they are a veteran. Maybe they're a family member of a veteran. And they say, well, you know, we've got a great tribal health clinic. Or maybe the other situation, look it, we're very far from the nearest tribal health center. How could someone like that get connected with the veteran system a little bit more closely?
So what they would need to do is contact the VA. They could actually, for us, you know, they could call the Portland VA, and actually I can give you, it's a 1-800-949-1004, extension 31745 is actually home-based primary care. And we're able to, you know, talk them through what they need to do to get enrolled, get them introduced with the enrollment office, get enrolled in the VA, and you know, when they meet the criteria needing somebody to come to their home, because they can't make these appointments. They need specialty care. We can help them to get enrolled with some of the specialty care clinics to get the help that they need. If they're really far from the VA, that's where home-based primary care can come in when they can't make it to their IHS clinics. Mm-hmm. And then we can come to their home and we can provide care for them there in their homes.
So are all the caregivers as nice as you are?
Some are nicer.
So basically no one needs to be afraid of calling that number.
Not at all.
And since we're on radio, I like TV because you can put the number up. You can just mention it quickly and you can have it on the screen. But that it's a long number and it goes
it
by
is.
Pretty quick. Can you give it to us slowly, maybe a couple more times?
Sure. So there's the 800 number is 1-800-949-1004. And that's extension 31745. Again, I'll say 1-800-949-1004, extension 31745.
Now, are there other numbers as well that people could use to contact Veteran Services?
Yeah, they can call directly to the Portland VA, and that number is 1-503-220-8262. Again, is 1-503-220-8262. And they can just ask for the enrollment office.
And if someone is tuning into this show, of course, it's a special show from the National Congress of American Indians. But we provide contact information like this to the station. So whatever station you're listening to, they will have some contact information for these services that Chris has been telling you about if you didn't get those down right now. We have just a few minutes left in this segment, Chris, and I know you could share a wealth of things, but any other important messages that you want to communicate to our listeners or especially to veterans who may be tuning in?
I'd just like to let them know that besides the Salem, Grand Ronde area, we also have home-based primary care facilities over in the Warm Springs area. The manager over there is Diego Rose, and he'd be happy to help anybody that has any questions. So
Great. Now, is this just something local to the Northwest, this home-based program, or people who are listening in the Southwest or Alaska or other places, do they have access to similar services?
Yes, they do. It's a national, home-based primary care is a national program. With all VAs, there's a home-based primary care program.
And so that 800 number that you gave initially, is that specifically tied to your program, or would that give them the access to the general program?
That is actually to the Portland program. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's looking in a different area can just call their local VA and they'll be able to help them get in contact with home-based primary care in their location.
Okay, so two points of contact. One is the local VA. If they're at a loss, we've got that 800 number. If someone calls you from Arizona or Florida, you could still point them in the right direction?
Yes, I'll get them the number that they can call.
Okay, very good. Chris, one last question. Here you are at NCAI, and just to kind of give people a flavor for what's happening here, what is this event doing for your organization? How do you feel things are going?
They're going great. It's an opportunity for us to let people that are here know about our program, let them know about everything that we offer from the VA. Just thank the veterans that come by just for their service and just spread the word that we're here.
Since we don't have the TV cameras, and even if we had them, it wouldn't do much good on radio. One of the things that I was impressed about your particular booth is when I walked over there, I saw all of these positive-looking, very capable people, and there's a lot of people in your booth. And a lot of the other booths, I mean, I'm looking at mine. Right now, I'm the only one sitting here beside you. And how do you have such a team here? What are you representing different parts of Indian country, or are you just a local group that's here?
No, we've got several people here. We've got one gentleman from Idaho. I'm locally here. One of the other girls is from California. So we all work together. We keep in touch, and we share the joy of spreading everything that we can do for our veterans.
Many of our listeners, no doubt, Chris, have been to a National Congress of American Indians meeting, an annual event like this. Others have never been here. And they may say, well, look, I'm not in tribal leadership. I'm not involved with governance. What do you think? Is there value in coming to a setting like this? If someone's never been to NCAI, let's say they're from Northern California, like where I am. I know next year, 2012, this event will be held in the Sacramento area. Let's say someone is not too far. Is it worth their time coming out here? And if it is, what would they expect to find?
I think you're going to find any information that you've ever wanted to know. There's so many booths here and so much information. I don't think that you're going to go away and have many questions that have been unanswered.
Okay. Have you found people coming to your booth who said, like, wow, I never knew that the Veterans Department did these kind of things?
Yes. Yes. The VA is such a large organization that people just don't realize everything that is offered. And it would take hours to tell you everything that we offer and that we can help people with.
Mm-hmm. One other thing before we finish. Here in this setting, this is home territory for you. And as you see the lights going on in people's eyes about your services and other things, have you noticed when you do events like this that it even influences the morale of your team? Do you find that just interacting with people in this kind of setting does something about, I mean, you have a great service ethic, a great, you know, vision for ministering to the veterans, but does something happen to you as you share your enthusiasm?
It does. It just kind of generates my energy and wants me to get out and really spread the word even more and be out, you know, able to be out and help more veterans. It's kind of like restarting my engine again.
to me, Chris, that's one of the exciting things about giving back and sharing. And I so appreciate you taking time to share with our listening audience your perspective and the things that your team at the Veterans Department is doing. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Chris Henson with the Veterans Department and some of the special things that they're doing for Native American veterans. We've still got more to come in this edition of American Indian Living. We're broadcasting live from the National Congress of American Indians, but it's pre-recorded, so you're listening to it sometime after the event. Stay tuned, though. We got some more great information in our final segment that's coming up. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Don't go away. More to come.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living Radio program is sponsored in part by Weimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Weimar is home to the residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Weimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Weimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
Canned vegetables. Bring them over here. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on. Help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
But I need water.
Sorry. Duncan!
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Okay, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're in our final segment of today's edition of our show. We're broadcasting from the National Congress of American Indians in Portland, Oregon. It's November 2011, and we've got another great person with us for this final segment. I'm speaking today with the Executive Director of the Native Wellness Institute. Her name is Jalene Joseph. Jalene, it's great to have you with us on today's program.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
I know from having talked with people at the conference that you folks with Native Wellness are doing some great stuff. I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with your institute, your programs, but many are not. Can you tell us a little bit what you're all about?
Sure. The Native Wellness Institute is a national nonprofit organization. We're based in Oregon. We have staff in four different states across the country. We have a cadre of trainers, probably 20 or 30 Native training consultants that we use. And we focus on providing opportunities for healing and growth and, you know, personal and professional development. We do health relationships training, youth and adult leadership training, wellness in the workplace, what we call healing and wellness retreats, and then we do special technical assistance projects as well.
So if someone has taken part in one of your projects or programs, would they know it as Native Wellness Institute, or are you partnering with other organizations? They may not even know that you were involved with something that happened on their own tribe.
Oh, right. Well, we offer both. We offer trainings where people come to us, and then tribes will contract our services or other organizations, and we go to them. So throughout the year, we probably do between 75 and 125 training contracts in communities. And then per year, we offer about 15 where people come to us. And then there's other projects. For example, the meth awareness campaign that the National Congress of American Indians did, we did all of the community research for that campaign. So we traveled throughout Indian country talking to elders and adults and young people, asking them, what do they know about meth? What do they want to know about meth? And then we helped to design the communication strategy for that campaign.
Great. So you're doing all kinds of things in Indian country, all focused around the theme of wellness.
Yes.
So let's say someone says, this is great. I mean, maybe they're a tribal health leader. Maybe they're not in a position of tribal leadership, but they just want to see more happening in their community. Is there an easy way to contact you or get further information?
Yeah. We have a website, nativewellness.com. You can reach me directly via email at jalene@nativewellness.com. So that's J-I-L-L-E-N-E at nativewellness.com. Our phone number is 503-666-7669. And we're on Facebook and Twitter as well at the Native Wellness Institute.
So you're really connected and people are reaching you in all different ways.
Yes, for sure.
Jalene, for someone who's just hearing about Native Wellness Institute for the first time, they're just hearing your name. What is it like personally that gives you a passion for this area? What can help our listeners really connect with you and what you have to offer in your organization?
Okay. Well, I feel truly blessed because I'm doing what I love and I love what I do. And our work is based on the fact that our people have experienced historical trauma and is really the cause and the foundation for all of the, you know, alcoholism and violence and all the kind of unhealthy behaviors that we see in our communities today. What we do is help our people move past that. So healing, you know, the word heal means to become whole physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So we look at ways to provide those opportunities for our people and then to help them move forward. So we're a resilient people. We're a positive people. And that's why our people gravitate towards wellness, towards Native wellness, because it is positive. It is based in our culture, and it helps our people to live life the way they were intended to. So to be happy and full of joy. And that's what we want for our people too. And that's why our staff and our board and our trainers, you know, really dedicate our lives to helping our people move forward in a good way.
So if someone were to say, look, we want something to happen on our tribe, maybe they're in an urban area, then they're with a community center or something, say, let's try to partner with the Native Wellness Institute and do an event here. Basically, do you look to the community to help you decide what to do? Do you have a kind of a set orientation program of your services? How would someone, say, get the most mileage out of a partnership with you?
Well, usually what happens is a tribe or an organization will call us and they'll say, hey, we're, you know, interested in doing something. And then we'll just start a conversation and we'll go from there. So we'll kind of see what they want. We'll kind of share our experience, what we've done in other communities, and then we'll design a program together. So what we really like is to have a long-term relationship. So we know that, you know, going to one wellness workshop isn't going to change someone for life, right? There has to be follow-up and some, you know, a long-term relationship that's built. So for example, we have partnered with one tribe in Michigan, actually, where they do quarterly like community wellness gatherings. And they kind of focus on different topics. So for example, we just did one focusing on parenting. We did one before focusing on healthy relationships and gender roles. Mm-hmm. We're planning one where we're focusing on youth leadership. They've Great. Done one where they focused on wellness in the workplace. Okay. So they're trying to hit different segments of the community mm-hmm. and getting like the whole community on the same page mm-hmm. to help the whole community move forward. So those are the kind of partnerships that we enjoy and that we encourage. So it's some sustainability for the healing and wellness movement that we try to spark and inspire within individuals and families and communities.
Tremendous. So how long have you guys been around?
Well, as an organization, we were founded in 2000. Mm-hmm. So myself and about 10 other people that are current board and some of our staff founded the organization in 2000. However, we've all been doing this kind of work for many, many years. Mm. I've been doing this since I was 19.
Wow.
And I'm now 45.
So tell me a few other success stories. If someone hasn't partnered with you, we've heard the story about Michigan, how they've caught this vision and they're having these ongoing programs. Other stories that would resonate with our listeners?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's tons of stories. I could be here all day telling stories. Some of the best ones are our youth that we work with. Mm-hmm. So every winter and every summer, we do a Native Youth Leadership Academy. And we have young people that come from all over the country to attend. And one of the greatest testimonies is when they catch that spirit, mm-hmm. right? They catch that spirit of wellness, and they want to come back and they want to stay involved in this movement. And that's really what it is. It's uh-huh. a movement, right? And the movement then becomes your way of life. And then you work to inspire others. So we have a whole cadre of young people, so late teens to early 20s mm-hmm. that are in college, that are choosing these healthy lifestyles and then are choosing to come back and be of service to us
okay.
to help younger children. So, for example, this past weekend, we are a grantee of Nike's N7 program. Mm-hmm. And they had their first annual Nike N7 Sports Summit this past weekend. Well, we had our young leaders, many of them coming from, you know, out of the area that paid their own way to be here, uh-huh. to come and represent the Native Wellness Institute so they can further learn, so they can come back and be a further service to help us serve other young people.
Well, that sounds like an exciting venue to be at. I mean, just to come back and see these kids coming back with their reports, right, about mm-hmm. what they're doing in their own communities?
Oh, definitely. And then the networking that we did there, and, you know, we're going to be expanding and, you know, doing some work up in Canada and some other areas. So they're already working on getting their passports and, you know,
great.
Being ready to help us expand our services.
I mean, that is so exciting. I mean, it's such a great note to close today's show on.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go away, can you give us again that contact information if someone wants to get a hold of you folks?
Sure. So people can go to our website, nativewellness.com. We're on Facebook at Native Wellness Institute. We're on Twitter. And they can call our office at 503-666-7669.
Sneak that number in one more time, would you, Julie?
Sure. 503-666-7669.
That was Jolene Joseph. She's the Executive Director for the Native Wellness Institute. And I'm Dr. David DeRose. It's been great to have you join us by way of radio. And it's always exciting to be at NCAI and see the exciting things happening throughout Indian country. Hopefully today's show has given you just a little bit more of a sampling of what's happening in health and wellness throughout Indian country. Hopefully you will tap in even more fully to some of those things. For all of us at American Indian Living, I'm Dr. David DeRose, wishing you the very best of health.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. We hope today's program has contributed to your living a healthy life. American Indian Living Radio is brought to you by the Native Education and Health Initiative in partnership with the Lifestyle Center of America and Life Talk Radio. American Indian Living is also distributed through the public radio satellite system by American Indian Radio on satellite, a service of Native American Public Telecommunications.